Our first scripture reading comes from Paul's letter to the church in Rome. Listen for the word of the Lord. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it was written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep led to the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Here ends the first reading.
Again, the word of God as it comes to us from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. The word of the Lord. Someone has suggested that Psalm 27 is the one you need before you head into the diagnostic test in an MRI machine. And I would add that if you are at all claustrophobic and fearful of small enclosed spaces, Psalm 27 is a good one to memorize before you are rolled in for the scan. Like the MRI's jackhammer sound of the imaging process, this psalm allows for deep fears, otherwise unseen, to be met with the soaring possibilities for healing and wholeness and relief. As we make our way toward Good Friday's cross, the season of Lent allows us to journey into the soul, to look deeply within ourselves in order to understand the dark realities that beset us, to discover how in Jesus Christ God meets us where we are most vulnerable. Not that long ago, we sang about this at Christmas, but I have come to believe that we can miss the deep theological poignancy of the incarnation amid the poinsettias and candlelight. So here again from the carol, what we know about God becoming human in Christ. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Psalm 27 brings together the hopes and fears of all the years with this enduring set of verses that have carried believers through many a fearful trial. We have to know something about deep darkness to cry out in confidence, "The Lord is my light." And we have to know what it feels like yearning to be saved from something to proclaim, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." The Hebrew word for salvation means wholeness, completeness, oneness, that which is finished. Salvation is an encompassing word. It is the end result of God's making new again what has become distorted and broken. Who among us does not want that? Not long ago, a close friend of mine gave me a recently published volume of Celtic Daily Prayer. And I have enjoyed becoming reacquainted with that lovely form of Christian spirituality. The early Celtic people, you know, who lived in the British Isles, believed that you could go to certain places to be closer to God. These places have long been called thin places. Thin places are geographic locations scattered throughout Ireland and Scotland where a person experiences only a very thin divide between the past, the present, and the future. This Celtic sense of place designated significant natural locations as sacred. They were fascinated by shorelines where water met the land, by fjords and rivers, by rock formations, by wells and springs where water bubbled up from deep below, by doorways which were the meeting place of inside and outside. These locations all speak of meeting, of transition from one place or state of mind to another, where the veil between this world and the next is so sheer you can almost step through it. When Christianity spread into the British Isles, the Celtic Christians preserved aspects of this ancient folklore by continuing to revere thin places and adding a theological depth through their understanding of the living Christ. They broadened their concept of thin places to encompass not only geographic locations, but also moments, spaces and time, when the holy becomes visible to the eyes of the human spirit. Thin places then took on Christian meaning, where a person is somehow able to encounter a more ancient and eternal reality within the present time. I imagine all of us have a particular place like that where the palpable presence of God seems especially near, a place that is holy for you in a similar way. Down the shore, along the water's edge, where the ever-lapping wave against the sand has become a holy comfort. A place in your yard where at a certain time of day, the sunlight among the branches and the leaves creates a momentary, splendid wonder. A mountain vista that has taken you close to the stars. And seemingly closer to God. A place of reunion where God seems always close by and all's right with the world. A special turn on a familiar path that assures you you are near the end, that place of arrival again. If we learn to recognize these thin places and hold our many distractions at bay for a moment, if we pay attention to them, then they can be for us a source of spiritual awakening where we can feel particularly connected to God. What is significant about sacred places turns out not to be the places themselves, another has written. Their power lies within their role in marshaling our inner resources and binding us to our beliefs. I believe there are certain passages of Scripture that, beyond much of the rest of the Bible, take us to this kind of thin place with God. I am certain the words and images of Psalm 27 are meant to lead us there, to a kind of thin place where human and divine meet in a beautiful closeness. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Come, my heart says, seek God's face. Your face, O Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This psalm is a meeting place for a very close relationship. And the closeness is born of a deep longing amid fear and trauma and reckoning with human frailty, even unto death. Psalm 27 is composed of two rather distinct units, each of which has a special character. The first part of the psalm is a statement of confidence and trust in God, a God who inspired this confidence by acts of faithfulness in the past, and who therefore may be depended upon to relate to us in a similar manner in the future. This sense of dependence is boldly declared from the beginning, where the metaphor of God is my light, which is seconded by that of God is my salvation. Nowhere else in the Old Testament is God referred to as my light. The effect of the language here is to convey a relationship with God that is intimately familiar. The song brings God very near indeed. The second part conveys that Psalm 27 is not merely an otherworldly picture of a divine close encounter, along with the affirmation of God's intimate closeness is this gritty realism that questions God's presence. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me. And they are breathing out violence. With a willingness to call on God as light and salvation, The psalmist also admits a very human need for help in times of despair and anxiety. My friend, biblical scholar Sib Towner, has noted that the book of Psalms is one of the most important books in the Hebrew Bible because of its exquisite ability to seize human experience like a harp and to strum on every one of its strings. This psalm in particular can strum on the strings of our experience, both the soft and melodious notes of gratitude and trust and the shrill ones of anguish and despair. It is a thin place of meeting where, as in our everyday lives, the low notes and the high notes invoke an intimate relationship with God. Dorothy Bass is a historian of American religious life whose work and writing tries to bring the stuff of faith close to home in everyday and practical ways. She notes how often we ask each other, "How was your day?" Parents of school-aged children are accustomed to meeting your children with this question, "How was your day?" Or spouses and close friends with some variation of it. It is a kind question that usually comes from someone who really cares, but it is often met with a vague response like, "Not bad." Most days, Dorothy Bass remarks, we probably forget to notice. Then she tells the story of a mother she knows who has a different way of asking this question. When she tucks her children into bed each night, their teeth brushed and their hair still damp from the bathtub, she asks them this instead. Where did you meet God today? And they tell her, one by one, a teacher at school helped me. I saw a person sharing food with someone else at the park. I saw a tree with lots of flowers on it. This mother tells her young ones where she met God too, and every night before the children drop off to sleep, the stuff of their day has become the substance of prayer and a thin place of closeness with God. That mother's daily habit and the writer of Psalm 27 convey very well that to seek and find these thin places where we feel close to God requires practice. It requires a disciplined rhythm to encounter the very presence of God in places all around us. These places and moments just wait to be discovered. You will find them, as these ancient Celtic people did, in places of natural beauty and meaning, in the architecture of our sacred spaces, as these windows let the light of God in through all the colors of creation. You will also find them down the corridors of schools and hospitals and hospice care, in meeting places at work, in the familiarity of home, places of human encounter where it becomes clear that God is very near. A contemporary Celtic prayer asks, where is my home? Is it the house where I live? The garden where I sit in summer? The country where I roam? Or the church where I worship? The place I call home is where my heart is at rest. And my heart is most at rest when it turns to God in prayer. So wherever I pray is home. May our hearts ever rest in this prayer. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. For this psalm is a thin place where, come what may, we are assured of meeting the living God. Amen.